The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
And now, for the Financial Times ranked top investment advisor, Hanson McLean, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you are here with us on this May weekend. Springtime, both myself and my co-host here, we're both financial advisors. Certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our middays, our weekdays, meeting with people like yourself, helping you plan your financial futures. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. So whether you have advisors you're working with today, or you do everything on your own, and maybe you just want another opinion, whatever the case may be, we'd love to have you on the program.
Maybe
glad you're listening.
Maybe they're just starting out.
Yep, or restarting.
Yep,
which happens.
Happens.
Unfortunately for people. And sometimes people with best intentions and everything else. And I had a collection agency call me this last week.
A collection agency?
I had...
is this something you want to share on the air? Or?
Yes. I mean, the last time this happened when I was 18 and I signed up for a gym membership. And I signed, you're supposed to, it was like a three-year contract.
It's like a Seinfeld episode.
And I was 18. I really wasn't paying attention.
Really?
Lessons learned. And, but yeah, it was a, some sort of, medical billing, some lab that did blood tests. They had a contract with my doctor, so I didn't pay anything, but apparently they went into some sort of bankruptcy reorg. And so
you got named in it somehow.
They said I owed like $8,500 for some blood tests.
$8,500.
They're calling me all the time.
$8,500.
So why am I starting off the program this way?
So
we talk about all things
gonna
financial.
Resolve
we were talking about starting over. I hope this doesn't wipe me out.
I assume you'll resolve it.
I'm pretty confident I'll resolve it. It was a little frustrating having to spend a
couple hours on the phone.
Yes, that's exactly what I did.
And they're so friendly.
Oh, they're so happy I called. They're so pleasant. They treat me as... What happens oftentimes on collections, though, these companies will buy debts for pennies on the dollar. Literally, pennies on the
10
dollar.
10 cents, 12 cents,
maybe even less. And they only need to hit a couple to recoup their investment. So, but they work pretty hard at doing it. And anyway.
Well, sorry to hear about this, Scott.
I don't know why I'm starting
this. It's financial. So
it's part of the human condition.
It is. It is. And I tell you, health insurance, my wife spends a couple hours a week. We have four kids trying to, the health insurance and the reimbursement and the whole bit. A couple hours a week on it.
What? I'm just thinking of the challenge it is for so many people that just even trying to pay for the medical stuff. You have the financial assets. It's just a nuisance. The accounting
behind
it.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's not like you're trying to figure out, maybe we can't buy the kids' shoes this month because of the medical expenses.
Yeah. Years and years ago, I had a relative that had a medical debt that this person was going through a rough time. And it's got to be 15 years ago. And I got on the phone with the people and said, here's what I'm going to send you as her relative. And you'll accept it or you'll get nothing.
And everything's negotiable.
And they negotiate.
Particularly once a collection agency has your money.
Has the debt.
Yeah, has the debt. There's really no...
there's not
just
a lot of
drag
rules.
Them on as long as send them $2 this month, $3 next month.
So, but
drag them on.
Please don't call with a question about your.
I don't know why we started off this way.
Your medical debt.
This program
please.
Is typically around helping people make wise choices with their finances so that they don't have collections because they're able to pay their bills and really move beyond that to a point where they have some money set aside for their future. And firms like ours. And the radio program is really helping people make the best choices, both to preserve their assets, to reduce taxes as much as possible. And oftentimes we work with people helping them determine what's the best use of these dollars at this stage in their life.
What to go, what to either spend it on while you're alive or where it goes when you pass on. So if you'd like to join the show.
I had a friend of mine over Christmas went on a family cruise. The father... Grandfather, great grandfather, father, depending on the
who you were,
or the patriarch. I think there was 50 of them. paid for the entire bill.
Wow.
For 50 people to come on this cruise. He's, I think, mid-80s or whatever.
Wow.
Not particularly wealthy individual.
Did they all get off talking to each other? That's no. The big question.
Divorce.
That would be just
terrible. He jumped overboard. You know?
That's it. I'm just thinking about, I'm making it a little bit personal.
The point behind this is, for him, that was a great investment at his stage in life. He had enough financial assets.
He wasn't going to run out. He could use it a lot of different ways.
You could certainly say, well, that seems awfully frivolous to pay for that many people. But for him, it's like, this is my family. And their studies have shown that people get more out of experiences with their finances than they do with material goods.
With things.
So he probably could have bought a piece of art, overpriced art, to hang on his wall.
Well, the prices have dropped considerably in art, but yes, it's probably still overpriced.
Well, they still have, he couldn't have bought Scream or one of those, you know.
Yeah.
But obviously he could have bought that. But
people do value experiences over things.
Well, studies have shown that people actually receive more and have a greater sense of satisfaction out of experiences than they do with material goods. But we're all over the map. We're all over the map.
Well, if you want to join the show, let's give our number out. That's a good start.
If you'd like to join the program and be part, if you have a question for us regarding something in your financial life, maybe it's a 401k you're trying to figure out what to do with, if it should be rolled out, or you look at a Roth IRA, or maybe you're self-employed trying to figure out, is there a way you can set up a pension plan for yourself? Maybe you're retired today, wondering what to do with your dollars. Maybe you're trying to figure out if you can afford to retire. And even the whole concept of retirement's changing, I think, for many people. But most of us still want to be in a point. I think all of us want to be in a point where work is an option, our paycheck's an option, and not necessarily an obligation. But to join the show, we've got lines open right now. Simply call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766, and we'll get you on the program.
So
whether you're listening to us live right now, or if you're listening through a podcast, as I know, my neighbor told me he listens to our program and podcast as he has a commute, a long commute to work, and
he listens to the podcast.
And he fell asleep once driving home. It was terrible.
It was awful. No,
but I know some. But even if you're listening to podcast, if you we can schedule a time for you. If you got a good question you'd like to be on, we can still schedule
time. Yeah. So if you listen to the podcast, you're driving down the road and you say, hey, I got a question for these guys.
888-2-HANSON.
You call any time and we'll be able to schedule a time for you again on the air.
Yeah, I saw this. Get this. some stocks are kind of hot right now, right?
Yes.
Facebook is one. And everyone loves to think about Facebook. Of course, Facebook has many users. The growing number one growing segment of Facebook users are middle-aged folks, baby boomers getting onto Facebook. I have a Facebook account. My wife uses my Facebook account because she doesn't have her
really?
Own for some reason.
Isn't that?
I don't know. She says, be glad, because think how much time I spend on your Facebook. If I had my own, I'd be even on it more. So whatever. Anyway, so Facebook, the value of Facebook, investors have bid up, and it's a bit of a darling right now.
So the value means that the amount of the shares that they're worth.
Yes. So if you took
what they call market capitalization,
all the shares outstanding times the price. So you had a big chunk of cash. Here's your options. You can either buy Facebook, take all your cash, or you can buy Boeing, Carnival Cruise Line, Oracle, Bank of New York Mellon, and the Honda Motor Company.
You could buy all of them.
So the same amount of money will buy you those six companies: Boeing, Carnival, Oracle, Bank of New York Mellon, Honda. I guess that's five companies.
Yes.
The same amount of money will buy you those five companies or Facebook. Same value between those.
So the question is, does Facebook earn more than those companies? Because when you buy a stock, what you're buying is...
Or a corner gas station.
Or
a rental property.
Or
whatever.
What you're doing is buying its future earnings, not its past earnings, its future earnings, because you can't participate in the past earnings.
It's history.
It's history. Investments aren't doing anything. They did something.
And they will do something in the future.
The question is, how much did Facebook earned compared to Boeing, Carnival, really Oracle, Bank of Mellon, Honda.
When I first saw this, someone had emailed it to me. It reminded me so much of 1999 because it was the same stories in 1999. You can either buy AOL or you can buy all these other companies. And then we watched AOL.
Yeah, or you could buy at one point in time, some of these online where you book the flights were actually worth much more than most of the airlines that they were actually booking flights for.
Well, Uber, prime example. Of course, that's privately. It's not a public company yet. So the last 12 months.
But you can buy shares in Uber through mutual funds. Through mutual funds.
And there might be some of those exchanges where you can buy unlisted shares. I wouldn't. Anyway, not recommending you go buy Uber today. So the last 24 months, the five big companies that we've talked about, Boeing and Oracle and Honda and Bank of New York Mellon and Carnival Cruise Line, they generated for the shareholders $24 billion in earnings the last 12 months. Okay. $24 billion.
Compared to Facebook?
Facebook, $3.67 billion.
So eight times the earnings.
Yeah, seven times the earnings. So that means investors are betting
that Facebook
is going, they're going to have, their earnings are going to grow sevenfold from here.
Of what those companies, which is a broadly diversified basket.
Will they or will they not? We don't know, obviously.
That's a big bet.
That's the operative term right there.
That is a big bet.
The bet may pay off. I suppose if you're young, got a lot of time here. If the bet doesn't pay off, that's fine.
You can redo it.
When your retirement age and you allocate a big chunk of your portfolio to a bet, I don't care if the bet is Facebook or the bet is fracking or whatever the bet you wants to be right now, you want to look at what's the probability of it going up and what's the possibility of it going down. So when a company needs to grow sevenfold, we're not saying that Facebook's going to decline or it's a bad investment. We're just saying,
relative to other investments, is it overpriced or underpriced or fairly priced?
It all depends on what the...
All investments are relative.
Well, looks a little expensive to me.
I wouldn't be
betting your future on it, just to say that. Yeah. So anyway, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take some calls and continue on. We've got some actually great stuff to talk about today. If you want to join the program here, it's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. Again, 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To have your questions answered by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Taking the financially complex and making it simple, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSON.
All right, welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for staying with us.
That's right, listening to the boss here. I was running this morning with my, I have an iPhone and I have an iPod and.
The Shuffle, you mean?
No, I've got the little, maybe it's a mini. It's not a Shuffle, it's got a screen on it. It's actually pretty big. But I like to run with an old school, it was actually a Sony Walkman brand, yellow. And it's designed to fit in your palm of your hand, so it's kind of big. But you can do 10 preset FM presets, so I can run and channel surf at the same time. You're looking at me like...
It doesn't sound very...
Anyway, I stumbled across the boss this morning on one of the stations while I was running and enjoyed that. Gave me a little extra oomph as I was running up
the hill. So Scott is kind of... if you're new to the show, Scott is a quasi-adventurer. We've been on the...
I'm an adventurer.
Well, you like adventures. That. I mean, not many people could say that they've been flown out on a cradle of a helicopter because they were hiking somewhere in Wyoming or Montana.
I do buy. I just renewed my helicopter insurance. There was some sort of rescue insurance.
Yeah. So Scott,
you get a family. It's cheap. I forget what it is, but it's $50 a year or something.
So yeah, because you've been taken out in where were you hiking?
I was in the Grand Teton National Park,
and you fell and
broke my leg and ankle.
And so they had to take him out. But he ran the Western States 100, which is a trail run in the Western Sierra Nevada mountains that's 100 miles long. And you run it without stopping. So Scott,
I didn't have my Sony Walkman though. I did use my iPod.
So Scott is a little bit of an adventurer, likes to, and your dad is too. So he mentioned.
And my friend was supposed to give me a shuffle with good music, and he somehow got kids messed up, and I had to listen to ABBA. In the middle of the night, 84 miles into my run, I have ABBA, like deep into the album too, not like current
ABBA tunes.
So you're going
to Cuba.
I'm going to Cuba, yes.
When are you going to Cuba?
What's this have to do?
A couple weeks ago. I was just talking about Scott Hansen and the adventure you are.
This next week I'm going
will
to
you
Cuba.
Will you try to bring us back some tape from Cuba?
I will. What kind of tape? Scotch tape?
I'd like to interview some people down there. Like
they don't speak English very much down there, you know. And I don't speak much Spanish.
I'm sure you can find someone that speaks some English.
I think I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
I'd be interested in hearing.
I will definitely give a report because it's very interesting. I'm interested to see, obviously, economically, what's really taking place, and I'm hoping to get some areas.
I talked to some clients this week that actually just got back from Cuba. They went over the Christmas holidays.
To Cuba.
83 and 79 years of age. Been clients for 20-some-odd years, and they were telling me how awesome Cuba was. But don't forget, they said it's still a third world country in their opinion.
In their opinion? Is that an opinion? Or just is?
I think they were trying to be nice about it.
It's not even a developing economy because it's ceased.
There is none.
It's not developing anything. Yeah. Well, my father is 78 years old. I'm taking my dad. I took him to Peru on a 70th birthday. I was at a funeral for a friend of mine's father a few months ago, and I thought, I'm taking my dad somewhere. So we decided to go to Cuba. We will get to calls here in just a moment, so hang with us. I see people at home. Mm-hmm. So anyway, my dad says to me, hey, wouldn't it be really cool if Fidel died while we were there.
Dad.
He says, pray that Fidel dies while we're there. So he tells me.
And your dad's in great health.
He says, wouldn't that be great to get stuck in Cuba? I said, what? He said, maybe not for you. Oh, I'm an old guy. He says, it might be an interesting way for me to live out my final years.
To get stuck in Cuba.
I said, well, I don't want to get stuck in Cuba, Dad.
Yeah. We're doing something very.
Behave while you're there.
Doing something very similar with my dad. We're going to Denny's.
Denny's. The value menu. Value menu.
I'm bringing
Grand Slam.
We're getting a Cubano sandwich.
Cubano sandwich.
Have you noticed these Cubano sandwiches are everywhere since Cuba has announced that America?
Maybe you're just seeing them now. They've been popular. Anyway, we're going to get to the phones before
calls.
They start
If you'd
dropping.
Like to join the show, 888-2-HANSEN. That's 888-2-HANSEN. Or you can go to moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com, and we will get you on the air.
Yeah. And so
we anyway, hey, before we go to the call, I did have this one more statistic I wanted to share with you, Scott, that which is a survey that came out from HSBC that compared people that thought that they were going to ever be able to retire. From 2015 to 2016.
What do you mean?
So 10% of all people in this survey thought they'd never be able to retire when they were asked that question in 2015.
Only 10%?
Only 10% thought they'd never.
What do you think the number is?
I think it's probably larger.
So what year was this?
This is 2015. But in 2016... the number jumped to 18% of all surveyed people did not think they'd ever be able to retire. 1 year.
18.
It almost doubled.
One out of five.
And they said the largest contributing factor to this was dependents, which is their children graduating from college, paying off college tuition.
What do they say? One out of five young adults living at home.
Yeah.
One out of five young adults are living at home.
Well, since my kids have been little, I have been prepping them for this eventuality by telling them that they're only guests in my home and not to get too comfortable.
Okay, that works great.
I don't know. I'm just planning
Once
ahead.
Your kids reach the teenage years, you realize that your hopes and dreams for your kids may not be their own hopes and dreams for their own lives, right?
Yeah, I just don't want them to mess with mine too much.
That's what it comes down to. It's a big factor, though. So roughly one out of five people don't think they'll ever be able to afford to retire. The fact is, though, almost half of us are going to retire earlier than we had planned. Because health is one of the bigger issues.
It's a big deal. That's why you should be retirement ready if at all possible.
We better take calls here. Let's start off here talking with Robert. Robert, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Robert.
I wanted to find out what I should do with a variable annuity I have. I started this about 20 years ago, And I've seen the ups and downs. You know, I've been through 2007 and 8, and it went down over half what it was worth. And then now it's mainly it's at its highs now. So anyway, I've been thinking about what to do with it. I don't really need income from it. I was thinking of just eventually just forwarding it to my kids.
How old are you?
I'm 66 now, so that's why I'm getting close to retirement, maybe about 4 years. And anyway, it's worth like 270 something thousand, but my monthly, if I annuitize it, it'll be only like 1400 a month.
Is it inside an IRA or outside an IRA?
It's outside an IRA. It's I have it in a variable annuity, so it's in a fairly aggressive portfolio.
And what was your cost basis in it? How much money have you put in either at one time or over the years?
Oh, yeah, I started with a bulk amount. So the amount that I had put in was 106, so it's worth 272, and that's over about a 25-year period.
Got it.
So here's the thing. Here are your options. One option is you can just leave it where it is and let it continue to grow, and you're going to retire in 4 years, and let's presume it's going to have some additional growth, and it could take some additional provide some additional income. Two, you can start taking some with just a withdrawal without annuitizing.
But you don't need income right now, is that correct?
No, I don't. I think I have enough for my pension and my Social Security and IRAs. I have quite a bit of IRA that I will have to start taking at 70 and a half. So that's why I'm planning to retire at 70, because it's going to be mandatory.
So the thing about these annuities, back in the day you thought, oh, this would be good because they have good tax-deferred growth. I don't have to pay any tax on the growth, which is great. The challenge you're at now you're 66 and you're thinking, I got a bunch of money in IRAs I'm going to be forced to take withdrawals on. That's going to be taxable income. I don't really need the income off this. So you're probably not going to take any income. You're thinking at age 70, you don't really need it. You're probably not going to take the income. The challenge with these, if you take out a withdrawal yourself, the way it's taxed is you got to, all your first withdrawals is interest out first, principal second. So you start taking money out, it's all taxable to you.
And
if you die, there's no step up in basis like there is in other assets. This gain is going to be taxable to either you or your heirs as ordinary income.
And you have other choices. You can annuitize it over a 10-year period or a 15-year period. Are your children, do you think your children are in a lower income tax bracket than you, the same or much higher? Whoever the beneficiaries, how many beneficiaries are there on the annuity?
Well, I have my two kids. They'll probably be, one is lower. Actually, the other one will probably be higher, so it's hard to say exactly. And so
if this were me, I wouldn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
If I did anything, I'd be maybe looking for a lower cost annuity. I don't know how this is structured, but a really low cost.
No, I did that too. I did a 1035 exchange was at Hartford and went to Vanguard.
Okay.
Much lower fees.
So I agree with Scott. I would actually just let this thing ride. I would let it ride. And for the rest of the listeners, it sounded good when it was pitched to Robert that
and
you get this tax-deferred growth.
Yeah.
But the reality is if you had a low-cost, tax-efficient portfolio—
If this was just an index fund—
You would have gotten to the same place, and we wouldn't have to worry about the taxation. You would have paid a little bit of taxes along the way, but it would have come out as capital gains.
And if you die with it, it's
a full step up in basis under current law. So in your situation, because you don't need the money, and because it's probably a wash for your children, one being a low, one being a higher, I would just hold on to it and would look at it as something that
10 years out, 20 years out,
30 years out, just something that the kids will inherit.
Okay.
Another option to think about, you can always annuitize this, and rather annuitize it for a fixed dollar amount, you can annuitize it for a fixed unit amount. So the way this works, Robert, is instead of getting a fixed amount of money per month, you get a fixed amount of units of an underlying asset, mainly the subaccounts within the variable annuity. What this could provide is you'd probably have a little lower income today, but it would grow as the underlying investments grew. It would have some growth along there with it. So that's just another option to think about. So anyway,
appreciate the call.
1-888-2 Hanson's the number to join us here. If you've got a question for us, that's 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean.
To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766. Back to one of the longest-running financial programs. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson here.
Pat McLean.
Glad you're with us on the Hanson McLean's Money Matters. The new, we were talking about a news. I'm just going to finish up because we ran out of time. Variable annuities are complicated investment products.
All annuities are. Index annuities are as well.
An immediate annuity is not so complicated.
Okay.
It's a big purchase, though. But they're a little bit complicated, and they have some pluses and minuses. And typically, when we hear about tax-deferred growth, they'll pitch it, oh, it's great because you don't pay any tax on it. You're really just kicking the can down the road. That's all you're doing here.
And the worst thing is, especially with the portfolio Robert had, which was 100% equity, it sounded like. He said it was very aggressive, is that he would have been better off paying capital gains than ordinary income tax under current tax law. The problem with financial planning, quite frankly, is that you're dealing with today's laws.
And you don't know what tomorrow brings.
And you got to hedge it a little bit. You got to hedge.
So I'm actually not opposed to having some money in a variable annuity, right?
Yep.
Particularly, let's say somebody is saving for retirement in their 50s and maybe they were a little behind on their retirement savings and they've got a high income today and it's a really high probability that they'll be in a lower tax bracket in retirement?
Yes.
I'm trying to make a case for buying a variable annuity.
Yeah, you still wouldn't. You still wouldn't.
There was a time when capital gains rates were higher, but now that we're at a point where, because there was a period of time capital gains rates
were much higher.
But see, nobody knows what the future's going to be. So we talked about a step up in basis when you die currently.
We don't know. We have no idea whether that's going to be in place in
If I were a betting man,
6 months?
I would say 20 years from now, it won't exist. Because they've taken a whack at it a couple of times.
Yeah, and dead people barely complain. Their heirs complain, but it doesn't resonate well.
And it's a strange thing why you could take a husband and wife, for example. Let's say they bought Apple stock when Steve Jobs decided to go back to Apple years ago, and they put $1,000 and just throwing this out, and let's say that it's now worth $100,000.
Why did they get it?
And one passes, and they say, well, we'd like to sell some of this so we can use some money to go travel or whatever, but they can't sell it because they don't want to pay the taxes. When the first spouse passes away,
if the estate is organized correctly,
the surviving spouse receives it with a cost basis stepped up to the fair market value. In other words, the capital gains all forgiven.
Wiped away.
Just forgiven. Strange quirk. But really, I think the takeaway here, the thing to consider, it's important to have a diversified tax strategy with your investments.
Just like you have a diversified investment portfolio, you should have with different asset classes that are designed to do different things. You should think about your tax strategy the same way.
Yeah, and ideally, if you get to, say, retirement age, you've got some money in IRAs and 401ks, so it's some tax-deferred dollars that are going to be taxable.
Maybe some money in Roths, depending upon what state you plan on retiring in.
Perhaps having some money just in let's say some mutual funds that have grown in value or some stocks that have grown in value.
Maybe right? Some real estate.
So something you can turn into a capital gain. Yeah, perhaps having some money in real estate would be good as well. The variable annuities tend to be one of the worst places to have.
It's difficult from a tax standpoint.
Yeah. And sometimes they're used for some of the other insurance vehicles elements they have behind them.
With like a guaranteed minimum income benefit.
Guaranteed income on them or guaranteed death benefit.
They're not nearly as attractive as they once
were. No, but I mean, if you bought one years ago that has a, this is a week and a half ago with an individual. They had a variable annuity that they purchased a number of years ago. It had a guaranteed 6% income on it. Okay.
Which is, would be great in this environment.
And she had basically half her money, all retirement account, half her money was in this one vehicle that had the 6% income. It had a fee. It was more expensive because it was an insurance rider on top of it. It was a variable annuity, expensive. And this other account that was just in a variety of different mutual funds. And she came to see me and she says, I am thinking of moving the majority of my money that's in mutual funds into this variable annuity because I have the 6% guaranteed income on it. Can you tell me? This is exactly what she says. Can you tell me why I shouldn't? So we're talking to her. Home was paid off. She had a few rentals. Single individual. No children. And for her, it was all about...
Security?
Yeah, maximizing her retirement income. And as we sat and talked through it and went, I said, well, we just need to make sure you have some money for emergency reserves if something happens. You got a, one of your rentals, the roof caves in or something.
But she had an existing contract she bought years ago.
Years
so
ago.
The danger with you actually sharing that story, Scott, is that people hear this and say, oh, I need to get one of those variable annuities. That products change.
Oh, this is an annuity, by the way, that the insurance company every year sends her a letter offering to buy her way out. Let's say your account's worth $100,000, we'll give you $120,000 if you walk away today.
Right.
They continue trying to buy her out every
year. Can she put more money in?
Yes, she can.
Wow.
Which is a company, which was crazy. Look at her contract. The company allowed her to even make whatever investment changes she wanted inside it. She could have made the worst option.
The insurance company, for obvious reasons, was
trying to... Invested in oil at the top of the market. I don't know if there's oil.
The insurance company, for obvious reasons, is trying to buy them out of that contract because it was a bad call on their part. But that contract is old. So the danger in annuities is that they are complicated products. They're pitched. They're sold. It's easy to understand. No big deal. They obliterate all your risk. It's, you know, it's nirvana. Most annuities are relatively complicated, especially indexed annuities.
We have, a webinar on our website, moneymatters.com. What did we title that thing?
Everything the Good, you the know, Bad, and Ugly?
Everything You Need to Know About Annuities and Then Some, or...
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly Annuities. Something about annuities.
Was it The Good, Bad, and the Ugly? I don't know.
Something about... It was The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Was it?
I believe
it goes through it. Before you buy an annuity, if you're going to be buying one, there's every once in a while it makes sense.
Every once in a while, less than
than 10% of the assets that under Hanson McLean's control are in any sort of annuity contracts. And I didn't think any had been recommended through any advisor, but I found out that there was like three or something last year. Maybe it was a couple more. There was not. Every once in a while, it makes sense. And sometimes immediate annuities make sense because you can turn them into like a pension. Matter of fact, I just wrote about this in like Kiplinger four ways to build your own pension. If you don't have a pension, there's four ways to build your own pension. And one of them was an immediate annuity can make some sense.
And that's like Kiplinger's, but you can find it at moneymatters.com.
Moneymatters.com. You can get everything at moneymatters.com.
Not everything.
Just about everything.
Financial stuff.
At Hanson McLean's, moneymatters.com is pretty exciting place to be. Huh? It's got picture there.
It's
all
right.
It's got Pat's picture.
It's okay.
It's got video. It's all right. Great entertainment.
And actually, you can ask us questions on moneymatters.com as well. Or you could call 888-2-HANSON.
So, real estate investment trust, non-traded real estate investment trust.
REITs. Non-traded REITs. Which means they're sold. They're not bought. They're sold. They're pitched to you. They've got high commissions. The broker that sold it to you, not the financial advisor. Don't, if they call themselves a financial advisor, they are not a financial advisor. They're a broker.
So
they're selling you things.
Non-traded REITs. A rule just changed last April.
Thankfully.
Yes. Because what happens on a non-traded real estate investment trust that get pitched as investments that have stable prices. They were at stable prices because
they weren't required to price until 18 months after they sold out their package. So let's say they were trying to raise $100 million and it took them 4 years to raise this $100 million through their brokers going out there selling these highly illiquid, expensive, non-transparent products to unsuspecting savers and investors. They wouldn't price until after all $100 million. It could take four. There was one I read about that took 10 years to sell out. So the price looks stable.
Because they never want to sell out.
They never want to sell out.
As long as you kept raising money, you don't have to really price it.
You don't have to price it.
Rules
and the investment looks good. Thankfully, we've had some great rule changes that have taken place to help the investing public.
I think this is a biggie.
Oh, this excited me.
So that as of last April 11th, it said now any non-traded real estate investment trust, the price had to be based upon the net investment method, or the fair market value.
Which means this. You invest $100,000, and they pay the broker $8,000. That's 8% commission.
And they might pay a broker-dealer another one or two over that.
$10,000 in commission.
And
not
there's
unusual.
There's other costs involved.
There are lots of pigs feeding at that trough on the non-traded REITs.
So maybe there's 12% or 15% of the money went.
Not uncommon. You put $100,000, your first statement shows $100,000, but anywhere between $10,000 and $15,000 has been paid out to other people. How does that work? It's magic.
Well, now, thankfully, it's amazing. It took the regulators to come up with a rule on this.
It's so long.
It's wrong to pretend like your investors that there's no cost involved there.
Correct.
So
and
now,
and they're sold as it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah, heck yeah. Now, if you buy in a non-traded real estate investment trust, you will notice on your first statement a decline in asset value of 12 to 15% day one.
So what's going to happen?
Well, the sales of non-traded REITs are going to shrink dramatically.
They're going to go down. They're going to go down. They'll probably go to zero. And the thing is that you have an alternative.
Yes.
You can buy a traded REIT that costs you maybe $30, little transaction fee.
Maybe less than that. You can buy the ETF that tracks the whole index for pennies.
For almost nothing.
Pennies.
And if you look at the historical rate of return on a traded REIT versus a non-traded REIT, almost double.
Mainly because the cost of these just anyway.
Thank
you'll see
you.
Much
regulators.
Yeah, so you're not going to see as many of those. Oh, we need to take a quick break. 1-888-2-HANSEN to join the program. This is Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Get a podcast of Hanson McClain's Money Matters delivered each week to your computer or mobile device. Simply visit moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain.
Thanks for being with us on this program. If you want to join us, still have time for some calls here. 1-888-2-HANSEN is the contact number to join the program. Question regarding something in your retirement or investment program, whatever the case. 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSEN. And numerically, you can hit us 1-888-242-6766. We'll get you on the air. Let's go to the calls. Let's talk with Paul. Paul, you're with Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Paul.
How you doing?
Super. How are you?
Pretty good. We'll find out. I think pretty good.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the deal. I've heard bad things about annuities. I've had a tax deferred annuity since right around 1980. It's got about $160,000 in it. I've got $60,000 in the bank. I've got a good retirement check. I'm a teacher, so I don't get Social Security. My wife has a decent job. We owe about $90,000 on the house, and if something should happen to me, that's it for her. She won't get any of my retirement, of course, Social Security.
Wait, are you retired?
I was wondering,
Paul, are you retired now?
Yes, sir. I've been retired 10 years.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I was just wondering, is there anything you could advise me, or am I sitting okay? Or?
And does your wife have a pension at all?
Not much one. She's had this job now for about 6 years with the county.
Okay.
And when does she plan on retiring?
Probably. She'd like to do it yesterday, but she can carry on, you know, for the next 10 years.
And how old is she?
She's going to be 58 on the 21st of this month.
Okay. Okay. So once she gets 10 years in with the county, she will vest for a pension, I presume. Is that right?
In the state of California,
yeah.
She will be eligible for a PERS pension.
As well as medical.
Mm-hmm.
And she will. And does she participate in Social Security as well?
Yes, she does. Now, I don't know, pardon me, about the county thing in 10 years, what she'll be qualified for or anything. That's jeepers. I don't know that one. My main thing was
that's a big thing for us.
That's huge.
And I've never touched it at all. It's sat there since.
Okay, so what was your basis in the annuity? How much money did you put in?
my gosh. It started just to be about 500 a month, something like that.
Is that a 403B, a tax shelter annuity, 403B?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, got it. So it's you put it in while you were a teacher. It's what's called a qualified annuity. All right.
What do you want to do with it?
Well, basically, it's a nest egg for, you know, should something happen to me, that she'll have it to, you know, either pay off the house or, you know, help things move along.
So here's a couple things. You probably want to leave that alone until you're required. You're required to take minimum distributions. You want to make sure it is properly allocated. Because it is in an annuity, a variable annuity, it may be less expensive to actually transfer that into an IRA and receive the same benefits but at less cost, because annuities have a tendency to be more expensive than self-directed IRAs, even with professional management. So in most cases, you could get professional management, someone like ourselves, who actually manage the IRA for less money overall than what you're paying for an annuity.
Active management, right?
And it would be active management versus what you've got now, which is the money sits there and you're responsible for it. So that's
I haven't touched it. I don't intend on touching it. It's a nest egg.
There's no survivor benefit on your pension?
No, because it's kind of complicated that I got the maximum pension with the no survivor.
Got it.
And if you were to pass away today, could your wife continue to stay in the house?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We owe about 90 on it. And like I said, got about 160 in the annuity, 60 in the bank.
And how much is the house worth?
Well, about three.
Okay. So here's my first blush on this. One is that if you were sitting in my office, sitting with either myself or an advisor at Hanson McLean, the first thing we'd want to do is to look at what her pension benefit is. So if she retires, you said she works there for 6 years, and if she works there for another, let's say, 6 years, she'll receive approximately, my guess, just knowing what we know about pensions, approximately 24% of her income in retirement benefits.
Sounds about right.
Right? Yeah. So it's I'm using a 2%. It may be different in her county, but most of them run 2% per times the years of service.
Plus lifetime pension, plus lifetime medical.
She probably has some Social Security benefit, depending upon what her income is. And you've got enough equity in the home that she should be okay. If push comes to shove, you know, in later years, if she needed to stay in the home and money was tight, she could do, at last resort, a reverse mortgage.
My whole thing was I'm feeling really comfortable. I mean, I was a kind of, you know, squirrel that sucked away, you know, the hardworking aunt. And my gosh, I just feel like jeepers, what's wrong? You know, I mean.
Well, we actually don't, we can't say, because we don't know. What's your monthly income?
It's about 38. It's about 4,000.
And what's her income now at her job?
Jeepers, probably right around that, maybe less.
Okay.
So the one thing, if you're my brother and we're having this conversation, I'd probably say, you know what? I'd get a little life insurance right now. If something happened to you today and that income stops, you're looking at me, you know.
Yeah, would you like a 10-year term level?
Yeah.
10-year term?
Yeah, or even 5 years to help she get till the time she's vested for her pension.
Until she's vested for their pension. Yeah. So you're in this danger zone right now. You're in this danger zone.
Yeah, don't die.
Because this $4,000 a month is considerable. It's considerable. And you're not saving money on a monthly basis, correct?
Oh, yes, I am. I'm socking away about $300 a month.
Okay.
And, you know, she makes a decent thing. We got married late in life.
Is she putting money into her pension plan?
She sure is.
Into her 457 or 401k?
Yes, she's got about 20 in that.
Okay. So you really are in this danger zone.
Because
if you
passed away today, it would be a struggle for her to maintain
the standard of living and stay in that house. Mm-hmm. So
and her retirement.
Correct. So Yeah, I agree with Scott. And what I would actually walk you through is the 7 personal decision points. So go to our website, moneymatters.com. There's an ebook on it called The 7 Personal Decision Points. Actually, Scott's book, if you go to moneymatters.com/book, there's a discount there where you, there's a code where you get, the book's like $5. It's 75% off for listeners.
Yeah, it could be a code for Amazon.
You need to read that book because you're not close. I don't think you're close, Paul.
No, but I mean, if we've got, like, say, liquid about 250,000, 090 on the house, should something happen to me, you know, there's still a comfort zone there. But I'm listening to you.
Okay.
She could make it, yes.
Yes.
But probably not in the same lifestyle as she has today.
That is correct. That sure. is correct. Are you in danger of being homeless? Is she danger of being homeless? No. But you really are in a red zone, a danger zone for the next 5 years until she vests. And then I would
a few more years than that.
And then I would actually look at the money that is there. Because if you think of the 160 and the 60, that's $220,000. That actually, it's 4.5 years of income of what you're making now. So it's a dangerous place. So yeah. Appreciate the call. And the first thing I would do, the easy thing is I'd look at that 403B annuity and see if you can do it less expensive.
Glad you called, Paul. Thanks. A lot of people and teachers were sold these tax-sheltered annuities back in the day, really before 401Ks and whatnot, tax-sheltered annuities. Then they became the 403Bs. They were insurance products pushed to teachers.
And hospital workers?
And nonprofits, yes. But they tended to have high costs. Now, incidentally, teachers also had relatively high savings rate. It might have been some correlation to the fact that there's some TSA, tax sheltered annuity savings.
But their overall cost as a group was higher than normal.
The cost is some of those contracts are very expensive, particularly if you're not using any of the insurance benefits in there. So there's a lot of other ways to have tax sheltered annuity money for if you're a teacher.
And you can move it into an IRA.
You can move it to an IRA or even a lower cost tax shelter plan. But we certainly see a lot of teachers that have these annuities from years and years. Some of them have really high costs on them, but there's obviously some things to consider on doing that. But as Pat said, you can our website moneymatters.com, you can get the 7 personal decision point,
the book.
You can get our guide there. There's a webinar to view if you'd like to do that.
You can get your book.
The book at moneymatters.com/book, where you get.
And it's a process to walk you through. And I would walk, Paul, you and your wife through it as if you were not there, Paul. If you were dead.
You were not there.
As if he had passed away. Because this $4,000 a month, that's why he called. He's worried about it.
Well, how many times, Pat, have we seen a Hanson McLean where, don't mean to sound sexist, but oftentimes it's the man who takes care of the investments and the woman who takes care of the bills. And how many times have we seen people that have been confident in doing their own finances, but they get a little older and they say, I better have a relationship with somebody because
they worry about their spouse.
They care about their spouse. And 80% of the time, men predecease the women, so they want to make sure their spouse is well taken care of so something happens. We see that
often. Boy,
it's amazing. Hanson McLean, how many times she's in. That music means that we are out of time. We are here every weekend on this same hour. And, of course, you can get a podcast of this program. Go to iTunes and just search for Hanson McLean. You'll find the podcast there. You can listen to it. Anyway, we'll see you again next week. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.